So we do a lot of things well in our church. There are a lot of good things happening. There are various groups that are occurring and have been happening. You know, there's a men's group, there's a ladies' group, there's youth groups, there's Sunday school starting today, choir's going to start this week. When someone gets sick in our church, we try to send them meals and help take care of them. We visit one another, we pray for one another. I'm not going to give the complete list of everything because, number one, I would forget something and offend somebody, and number two, it's a long list and there's a lot that goes on, and it's really good stuff. The people that provide the music and the worship for us practice, and they work hard at it. People make sure that the candles are here for us and that they don't get too short. Someone put together Holy Communion for us this morning. And all of these things are really good, visible things that we do as a church that enhance worship and point us towards the Lord. And it's easy to see them, and it's easy to keep track of sort of what's happening physically. There's a scripture in 1 Timothy that I wanted to share with you this morning. And I'm looking at my phone, not because I'm texting, but because the scripture's on here. Okay. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. We've gotten pretty good at doing the physical stuff and the things that are seen. But these verses point us towards something else that maybe we as individuals and we as a church could do better. The real spiritual work of the church. Paul teaches that God's desire for his people is that we are to be a people of prayer, a people given to prayer. He wants us to be involved in that hard and spiritual work of reaching ourselves and others for the glory of God through prayer. There are a few different kinds of prayer that Paul mentions in that passage from 1 Timothy that I just read to us, but the one I'm hoping to focus on with us today is the idea of intercession. Okay, that's a specific kind of prayer. We look around us and we can consider the way the modern world is, and people have drifted pretty far from the faith. Okay, you know the statistics well. It's interesting that New Hampshire just surpassed us in the lesser number of people that attend church. Vermont actually has more now. They are 2% and we are 3%. Okay? And there's a perceived powerlessness of the modern church. You look around, churches are shrinking and dying. How many little white churches on greens have become art galleries or secondhand shops? You know, any number of things, because the church dies. Why is that? God's people need to be involved in a ministry of prayer. When we consider the escalation of sin around us, all the immorality and all of the anti-God thought that's out there in the world, it's clear that God's people need to pray. And forget about all that for a moment. If we just stop and consider all the pain, all the suffering, all the disease, right? All the heartache all around us, all the folks that we love, that we're praying for, it's clear that those of us who know God should be involved in a consistent, personal, and corporate ministry of prayer. So Paul actually uses the word exhort when it comes to prayer. This is encouragement, but it's a strong form of encouragement. It's sort of, I really encourage you. You don't have a lot of choice. I really encourage you to be involved in this. It speaks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Spirit of God comes alongside us to aid and comfort and exhort us or encourage us. And in this passage, Paul is coming alongside Timothy. He's teaching him, and he's encouraging him, and he encourages us. And he's encouraging us to carry out this important ministry of prayer. And the way that he uses the word, it's clear that it's really a command. It's really a, you really need to be doing this kind of prayer. You need to pray. You can't just do church work. You've got to pray. Prayer is powerful. It's not just throwing little things on a scrap of paper into the air and hoping they land somewhere or God finds them. Prayer is real, it is effective, and it works. James chapter 5, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James was no stranger to the understanding that prayer is real and that it does work and God calls us to it. 1 John 5 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we will have the petitions that we desire of him. This is a writer that clearly understands that God hears prayer. And so in this passage from Timothy, Paul tells us that we are to pray first of all, not when we have time after everything else is done. The idea is that prayer is supposed to be the top priority for us individually, and can't talk for us individually and as individuals and for us as the church. It's not just sort of the filler thrown in between songs or something to take up a few minutes of time. It's the life breath of the church. It's non-negotiable for us if we are going to be able to hear what God is asking us to do and walk with him. Billy Graham said, the three secrets to successful ministry. He should have written a book, right, called that, but it would have been a short one because he says they are prayer, prayer, and more prayer. Okay? If we are going to be everything that God is calling us to be, then we need to be a people who place a great emphasis on prayer. The gospel lesson today talks about laying a good foundation in Christ so that when the waters come against it, we won't be washed away. To build that firm foundation in the church and in our ministry efforts, as well as in our own lives of faith, we have to build on Jesus Christ through prayer. We're told in Scripture, and we try to live it out, we're to be a people marked by worship. We're supposed to be involved in the vocal and verbal worship, the physical, visible worship of the Lord. We do that in different ways on a Sunday morning. We do it in different ways in our lives during the week. We're also supposed to be people marked by evangelism. We're supposed to go out and tell people. It's not just a gift for that portion of the population that has the spiritual gift of evangelism. It's a call to each one of us to be able to reach out to our friends and family and neighbors that do not know the Lord. We're supposed to be actively involved in pointing the world to Christ. We're supposed to be a people of the book, right? The Word of God is the standard for our work and our worship, for our belief, for our convictions, for our public worship, for our private devotions. But above all, we need to be a people of prayer. We acknowledge that our worship and our evangelism and our preaching and our devotional work and our public and our private service will all be anemic and empty if not bathed in prayer. So the word intercession means to fall in with others. It's a bold praying on behalf of others. You know, Jesus is our intercessor. He's the only mediator between God and man. And he is at the right hand of God now, making intercession for us. He stands in the gap between us and the Father. And we are told to carry out that same ministry on behalf of others, in that we make intercession for those who don't know the Lord. We lift others before God in prayer for healing. We stand in the gap for them. We pray for them. We pray for God to convict people and to save them by His grace. We're also to pray for our fellow believers. So when we come together and pray in intercession, it's not just sort of praying whatever. The way that we approach it is important. We have to examine our conscience before we pray. We have to repent of any sin or harsh feelings that we may have against other people. Look at the Old Testament reading today from Isaiah. Right? Isaiah was in the holy presence of a perfect, majestic God. And his immediate response was to realize how sinful he was. Did you catch that? Woe is me was his response. Not, wow, God, how great are you? But woe is me. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And he had to be cleansed by the Lord before he could proceed with God. The same is true for us. We need to confess and repent before we try to come into God's presence in that way. It's good to spend a few minutes of silence to quiet our minds and to try to listen for the voice of the Lord and to invite His presence. We all have a million things going on in our minds at once. You're all thinking about, well, some of you might be thinking about what you got to do after church today. And if you weren't before, now you are, because I brought the thought into your head. Okay? And if you sit down and try to be quiet and pray, that's what happens sometimes. All the thoughts come rushing at us. The other thing that's important with intercession is that we want to be in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing, not try to make the Holy Spirit be in line with what we are doing. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray in union with the mind of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And so, during this time, we ask the Lord to give us a sense of the things God wants us to pray for. We put aside our own agenda, our own concerns, and our own desires, and we try to unite ourselves to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the heart of Jesus. Some people that actively pray like this will write down the things that God places on their hearts. They keep a prayer journal. I know that sometimes when Skip Downing is writing music, he's woken up with an idea in the middle of the night, and he keeps a pad next to the bed so he can write it down, because he can't rest until the idea is written down. It's a really good thought. So I want to encourage you, if you decide to learn to pray like this, to keep a prayer journal. It's amazing to look back and see how God has moved. So we pray for the things that are on God's heart. Those who have no faith. Those who have fallen away from Christ. For renewal and unity in the churches. For respect for life. For the lost, the abandoned, the forgotten. For those under the power of addiction or depression, anxiety or bitterness. For prisoners and servicemen and women, for our own intentions, for our loved ones. The Lord may lead you in a direction. Maybe the Lord's going to lead you to pray for the church. Maybe the Lord's going to lead you to pray for Brownsville Community Church, that we would walk according to the voice of the Spirit and not according to the voice of the world. Look at what happened when Paul and Silas were in prison. They had just done the work of the Lord, right? They cast a demon out of someone that had a spirit of divination, of fortune-telling, And because someone was making their living that way, Paul and Silas got in trouble and got thrown in prison. They did what God wanted them to do and they ended up in jail. How fair is that? And they were not just in any part of the prison. They were in the innermost part of the prison. The most highly guarded, deepest, darkest hole in the jail. And they weren't lamenting their situation. They were worshiping God. They were singing. They were praying. That's intercession. They knew the presence of the Holy Spirit in that place in such amazing ways. Did you see what happened in the account? Miraculously, they're set free. And then instead of running for the hills, they stay there because they know the rules. And if the prisoners escape, the jailer is going to be put to death. So he goes to fall on his own sword and they say, "Don't do it, we're still here." What another miracle that was. Look how God takes things that are tough and turns them around. Good. Intercession is warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We read that in Ephesians 6. So sometimes in life, when you're walking according to the will of the Lord, stuff happens. And you have to look at what's behind what's happening, not just what seems to be in your face. When that person comes after you, is it that person or is something else happening? So we intercede for them. We intercede on their behalf. We pray for them. We ask for the will of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And then importantly, we give thanks. It's really important to give thanks to the Lord when we pray. No prayer is complete until we spend some time blessing God and giving Him thanks for what He's done, what He's going to continue to do. We thank Him for the fact that He actually does hear us. We aren't praying to a dead God, we're praying to a resurrected Christ. God is there. He hears us. And our prayers do not fall on deaf ears. You know, some churches have a group of folks that will actually pray during the worship service. Usually those churches will have more than one service and the group will switch off and one group will pray while there's a worship service and then another group prays while there's another service. And I can tell you it makes a huge difference when prayer is behind what's happening. When we try to fail forward in our own strength, it doesn't work. But when we pray and we walk with the Lord, amazing, amazing things can happen. Coming soon, there's going to be an opportunity for intercessory prayer happening once a month here at the church. And if you're interested in becoming a part of that, I invite you to come and to learn more about intercessory prayer and about how to pray in that way. And even if you don't come to that opportunity, I invite you to pray and ask the Lord how He might be calling you individually in your own prayer life to change and to grow. None of us has arrived yet. We all have growth. We all have miles to go before we sleep, as Robert Frost would say. And it's true with the Lord and with our walk and with our prayer life. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for often trying to do the things that need to be done before we sit back and pray and seek your heart and seek your will. So often it's easier for us to rush around and take care of all of the details that are physically before us, but we neglect that time to pray, to come into your presence, to sit at your feet and listen, to tune our hearts to your Holy Spirit, and to seek to walk with Him rather than telling Him to walk with us. Lord, we pray that you would instill in us such a hunger for your word and such a hunger for prayer that it would not be satisfied until we spend time with you. Help us to make time in the day that you have given to us to devote to prayer and to reading of your word, that we would forever be changed, that one day would not just go into the next, into the next, into the next, but that each day would be seen as an opportunity to walk more closely with you. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, and for how even when we walk away from you, you are always calling us back to you. In the name of Christ, amen.